welcome to this week's episode of Loves a Beach,
which,
as a recap, is a podcast exploring the psychological intricacies of the TV show Love Island. However, as it hasn't started yet, this episode is going to be looking at last year's finalists and reviewing where are they now and what they're up to. Thank you for everyone who listened to our podcast last week.
We have had some great feedback from people, mostly all positive, which is always nice. My personal favourite feedback came both from people from Lauren's life. She got a text from her mum, which gave us some really lovely constructive feedback. And also an ex-love interest got in touch with Lauren just to comment about what she said about her type on paper, which was really amusing. Lars, I don't know if you want to read probably both those texts out, I think.
Yeah. So, text from my mum. By the way, I listened to your podcast and loved it. My only advice is to not laugh quite so loud and quite so often at your own jokes. Leave that to the listener. Thanks, mum.
Yeah, and then one from an ex. Yeah, not an ex, but...
Well, it's an old flame.
Yeah.
Who said, I don't know why we didn't work out now, because I tick 3 out of 7 of your boxes for your dream man on paper. And I've been reflecting on this.
Okay.
And 3 is less than half of 7.
Mm.
So it's not really a valid point.
So was it 7 physical things you said you wanted? Is that what he's talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Curly hair, piercing green eyes, tall, muscly.
Northern.
Tanned.
And the whole point of type on paper is it doesn't really mean anything. So,
yeah.
My dream man still hasn't got in touch. So,
well, that's fine. I think
he's still out there.
I think give him more than a week. Come on. Out of interest, what do you think the 3 things are that this guy thought he had?
Northern.
Ah.
Longish. It's not long, but it's curly and dark.
Okay.
Hair. It's got blue eyes.
Quite close. And yeah. No tattoos?
No. Mm. That's kind of it.
Right. So 2 out of 7.
Really?
Great. So yeah, thank you so much for all your feedback. Oh, the other feedback we got was we were discussing last episode about, well, Lauren pointed out that we don't really see the contestants eat in the villa very much. And we were sort of wondering, do they eat or do they not eat very much? And is that why we see them get quite drunk? And we got actually got some exclusive insider knowledge about this. I'd like to say I really don't want to confirm that this is true or not. No, exactly. But apparently, when they're having dinner in the villa every night, the producers from the show kind of come in, sit at the table with them, and I think they'll sort of brief them what might happen in the evening in terms of games or something. And they also apparently remind them not to get too silly and not to drink too much and not to get too carried away.
And to be safe in the sexual realm.
Oh, really? Mm. Okay, so that's why we don't see them eat dinner, because dinner is, like, they're basically
having a sex education class from school.
Yeah, I could just, yeah, they're being given a firm talking to. So yeah, in case you're all dying to know, we've got that knowledge for you.
So before we go on to talk about the 4 finalists from last year, we just wanted to do a quick highlight and lowlight from 2017. Because there were many.
Mm.
So, Law, what was your... You can pick if you want a high or a low first.
Okay. A highlight is... one of my highlights is quite niche. But it was... I definitely laughed the most at this in the whole series, I think. Which was when the boys all went to that secret villa. So the girls just thought they'd gone out for the day or something, then the boys were led to this villa and then they were told, actually, you're going to stay here for a week and there's going to be new girls coming in, and all the boys are just turn into 14-year-old giggling teenagers, and outside there's this sort of day bed, but it's suspended, so it's like a day bed slash swing, and they all just I don't know, it's really hard to describe. I might try and find a clip and then maybe link to it in the show notes, because they all just go on it and start swinging it. But I don't, I, can you describe it any better?
Well, they're humping, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Because they get really frustrated.
Yeah. Because I think it's when they find out that there's going to be new girls coming into this villa and they just
dry hump the pillows all together.
But it makes the swing really come alive. It just really, really made me laugh.
Silly.
I think it was quite, in a way, it was quite sweet. They just looked like, because although they were humping, it was like they just really let loose and became carefree boys.
Mm.
Yeah, as I said, very niche highlight, but
low light.
Maybe when Camilla sort of got her heart broken by Johnny.
Mm.
So. For those of you who didn't see last series, Camilla was a very, very sweet girl, and she started a romance with someone called Johnny, and it was going okay, but then someone else came in the villa who he liked much more, and just really, really got to Camilla. I think she found it really hard to let her guard down, but had started to, and then felt really rejected. And that kind of thing happens a lot in the series, but for some reason I think she just took it really to heart, and they just showed a lot of footage of her crying.
So, and also then Tyler came in and started getting with Johnny pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
Which was really, I mean, it's one thing having your heart broken, but another thing watching your love interest crack on with someone else in front of you whilst being filmed.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think in normal life, it's very hard to be rejected or to be broken up with. But you can, in nearly every situation, walk away, not have to see them.
Mm.
But, yeah, having to live with the person who has rejected you, and then them, it's a bit like, I suppose, if you live with your boyfriend, he dumps you, you still live together, and then he brings home a date.
Who's beautiful, tanned, and has a really flat stomach.
Yeah, and you're just sitting there watching TV. And
secretly crying.
They just come in from their date. Like, hi, what have you been up to? Oh, nothing.
Just crying on my own. How about you?
Oh, so nice to meet you, Tyler.
Mm.
Love your flat stomach.
Mm.
Yeah, this is fine. I'm not upset at all.
Yeah, it's quite heartbreaking.
So, yeah, off the top of my head, they were highlights and lowlights. I'm sure as you start speaking, I'll think of much better ones.
So I think my highlight was the love blossoming between Chris and Olivia.
Hmm.
So I saw a clip recently that just reminded me of that, when Chris is, they've had an argument, standard, which they had every day pretty much.
Yeah.
And Chris said to Olivia, every day I wake up and look at your freckles and I see a new one and I make friends with it.
I remember that.
So yeah. That was really cute.
Yeah, when they had those conversations, they are the sort of innocent, lovely, silly conversations that are what makes falling in love. So
it's what we live for.
Yeah, it is. It's the little moments like that.
Like when Kem gives Amber a love bracelet. Infinity bracelet.
See, I'd say that is more of an overblown statement that people mark their relationships by. Mm. Like, oh, he gave me a piece of jewellery, he gave me a promise ring. Whereas having a silly conversation about freckles, I think is the silly stuff that no one sees, but actually lots, that's what makes up a relationship.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. So before we go on to the four finalists and talk about where they are now, I think it's interesting to think about the fact that only one out of the four couples is still together now.
Yes, and that's Jamie and Camilla.
Mm-hmm.
The general consensus seems to be that when we talk about the fact that out of the four finalist couples, only one's together, and out of the whole series, I think two are together. And the general reaction seems to be, oh my God, only one or only two. And I was thinking about it, and it's sort of, it shouldn't be shocking at all. It's sort of, what? Two people who were randomly put in a villa together, who were in their early 20s, who were going through loads of change in their life, who were plucked, you know, and put together and had nothing in common apart from the fact they wanted to go on Love Island. After a whole year, hardly any of them are in a meaningful relationship anymore. shocking. Like, it is sort of, it's to be expected, really. They come out the villa and they're in, and they've got a whole new life that they have to adjust to. And yeah, and it's just, why is this? I don't know.
Although I would say that from, I guess if you bring it back to biology, mm-hmm. so as humans, we're designed to procreate and be in, you could argue, be in relationships for that reason. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other thing about time. So there's the argument of, and I've had this conversation many a time with friends of, oh, well, maybe he'll grow on you, you know? And I think especially being in London and dating, mm-hmm. that's something that comes up a lot. So going on one or two dates a week, it takes absolutely ages to properly get to know someone.
Yes.
So I guess playing devil's advocate here, if you throw a load of people in a villa who are fairly similar backgrounds, fairly similar ages, and give them nothing else to do, no distractions. Mm-hmm. And as we kind of we've talked about this before, in Love Island, you know, 3 days is the equivalent really of probably about 3 weeks.
Yes.
Or longer of dating. I would argue that potentially more would kind of fall in love and be together because that's all they have in there.
I think while they're in there, then yes. But I think then the survival of it in the real world, I think that's what I'm...
So not... if they were kept in the villa forever, they'd probably have babies and stuff.
Absolutely. Because also, we're, you know, as humans, we become accustomed to our situation quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know, if you kidnapped me and put me in an island and paired me up with someone and sort of said, this is it, this is your life now, I'd make it work. Because as humans, we survive. And like you say, we have got, not everyone, I think that's a bit of a sweeping statement, but as humans, we generally do procreate. Most people we know who are middle-aged have at some point got married and had children. And so you do naturally try and make that work.
And I guess we try and form relationships to feed our self-esteem. That's our bit, like one of our basic human needs.
Yeah. Do you think it's to feed our self-esteem?
I think so. So I think the reason that people need relationships and constantly form groups mm-hmm. is to feel validated as a human and as a species. That's really, really, really important.
I think it's also that we just crave connection.
Yes, definitely.
And we don't do well on our own.
No.
We are pack animals.
Yeah.
Also, in Love Island, let's not forget, we have to be coupled up to be able to win £50,000.
Exactly.
That's also a big factor. The other point I'd thought about in terms of lots of the couples not being together and people having quite a strong reaction to this is, in general, we don't like to hear about breakups. If we hear about a couple breaking up, especially if we are in a couple ourselves, it makes us nervous. We think if they could break up, if that relationship could end, then so could mine. If that couple can't make it work, then what's to say I can make it work? And a lot, I think people just get a bit nervous around hearing relationships end.
Although I think the opposite sometimes. So, for example, when watching other reality TV shows, like Made in Chelsea, for example, sometimes when the couples break up or whatever, it makes you feel better about your own life. Like, relationships break up all the time, so being single isn't abnormal.
True.
I guess it maybe depends if you like the couple or not, and if you maybe see yourself in the couple.
Yeah. And I suppose also it depends where you are in your life, because we all see things from our lens.
Yeah.
So if you've just gone through a breakup and you see another couple break up, you think, oh, actually...
it's not just me.
Yeah. But if you're in a quite sort of secure and happy relationship and then you see another seemingly secure and happy relationship break up, it can make you feel very nervous.
Yeah.
So it just depends where you are, like everything, I guess. Mm. Yeah, interesting.
So on to our 4 final couples and a look back.
Looking back on my life.
Leave the singing to me, Laura.
Okay, sorry.
And we're not also looking back, we're looking at where are they now. So on to our first couple. Kevin Amber. So yeah, they won. They were, I mean, Ken was my fave. Absolute babe. But
his
they
hair
did,
at the moment, sorry. Oh, his hair at the moment is looking
curly
great.
Dream. Yeah, if he was taller, I'd approach him. Approach him for a date. But yeah, they had a fiery relationship throughout the villa. Very up and down. And yeah, when he, I mean, there was obviously the point where he walked back in with...
China,
yeah. But then they did say, I love you, the big L word, drop the L bomb, and plan to have 3 weddings.
Really?
Yeah.
They talked about that in the villa, did they, or outside?
This is my research.
Sorry. This is like...
from credible sources such as The Sun and The Daily Mail, which I actually got lost in and ended up looking at... Yeah, Kim Kardashian's new perfume bottle, which is a cast of her naked body. Anyway, wow. Plan to have 3 weddings, one in Essex, one in Wales, where Amber is from, and one abroad. They also heavily hinted about how starting a family, and Amber apparently said she wants either 2 or 4 kids because she likes even numbers, which is a great foundation for bringing a child into the world. So, they lasted 132 days.
You have really gone detailed with your research.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous about yours now.
Very.
Okay. These are the winners, though. So I thought, you know, they slept just before Christmas.
Aww.
Sad time to split up. Happens to me every year. And originally, it was because they had busy schedules, but then it later transpired that they were incompatible and had lots of rows, which I don't really see as a big... scoop personally, but
no, I thought you would. Yeah, it's nice that so there's been no sort of cheating rumors because
yeah.
It seems to be the way
a lot
of these couples go.
So, where are they now? I hear you cry. Let's start with Kem. He's snapped up a lucrative deal with OK Magazine and appeared on the cover with Amber. Probably got a lot of money for that.
How much do you think you do get for a cover of OK Magazine?
Well, that actually brings me on to my next fact, which is he charges £5,000 an hour to show up at venues and sign autographs.
So, like, that would be, like, a club appearance, maybe?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I reckon... Oh, I don't know.
I think it's a lot, to be honest.
£20,000?
Yeah.
Maybe more. Yeah. I don't know. Mm. If anyone knows, if anyone works for OK Magazine... get in touch.
I would be really interested.
Yeah. They also joined Good Morning Britain for a week of presenting in late August.
When they were a couple?
Yeah. Mm. And they hosted the showbiz and entertainment slot whilst Richard Arnold was on holiday. It was awful. Did you watch it?
No.
Yeah, it didn't really...
Were they quite wooden?
Yeah, it just didn't really... I guess it's the transition from reality TV to actual TV, which is... a completely different kind of fish, isn't it?
It's totally different. Reality TV, you're literally just being yourself, but there's cameras sort of planted around. Yeah, being a presenter is, I think... Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think sometimes these people get quite a lot of flack for sort of when they're given these presenting jobs, but what do you expect? Like,
yeah, people... I felt quite sorry for them because people were kind of being quite negative about it. But... it was only meant to be a guest spot anyway, so fine. He also starred in a spin-off show called Straight Out of Love Island with Chris. And the pair also topped the charts with their single Little Bit Leave It, which was great, I thought.
I'm sad that rap career hasn't really continued.
I'm sad. I thought there was going to be a deal with Stormzy.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Maybe there will be. Maybe there's still hope.
I think it's too late now.
Yeah, you've really got to capitalise in that first year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't know this, along with Chris, they've released Kem has released a fitness DVD named Chris and Kem 100% Fit. So I know what's going on my Christmas list this year. He was also the third celebrity announced to appear on Dancing on Ice and made it all the way to the semi-finals.
Nice.
Took a leading role at the National Television Awards with Chris, and apparently he's been begging the BBC to give him a job on EastEnders.
I mean, I just don't know if I believe that.
That he's begging them to give him a job?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a lie, but it's funny.
I mean, all of, but no, these are actual facts. But he's also recently been to Croatia with Chris.
Nice.
And was okay. Papped with chocolate around his face and a sexy lady. Yeah. And rumour had it that he was dating Scarlett Moffat.
Yes.
However,
she keeps being linked to loads of people. I think, I think it's all untrue, isn't it?
So now, I think apparently he's dating Ruby Blake.
Who's that?
So she's a model, and she's been in a lot of. She's 19, and she's been in a lot of music videos, including Drake and Kanye West.
Ooh,
She looks a lot like one of the Kardashians.
Okay,
like extremely beautiful.
Interesting.
So yeah, Amber. The little Welsh bombshell, fire dancer.
This is very serious.
So her career has taken off since she left the villa.
Okay,
nice.
Did
we call it a career? Unsure.
Well, see what you've got to say first.
Yeah.
I'll be the judge of that.
So she's also charging £5,000 an hour for appearances.
Fine. It's the going rate.
She landed a £500,000 contract with Motel Rocks after apparently an intense bidding war between major fashion retailers. A source told the website, Amber is a perfect ambassador for the Motel brand. She's young, fun, and has a brave personal style.
Is it brave?
Is it brave, or is it revealing? Who has got a brave style?
You.
Thanks, babes. I wasn't actually fishing for a compliment there, but I'll take it. So yeah, also obviously did the presenting thing. Rumour had it that she was dating Ollie Mears and Pete from TOWIE.
Ollie Mears. Do you know what? Ollie Mears is my sort of one of my realistic crushes. Okay. By that I mean, like, I feel like there's an opportunity we could meet. We're both from Essex. He's quite down to earth.
Ollie, if you're listening, don't get in touch. Don't, Laura's got a boyfriend.
Don't get in touch.
He's actually sat here now. So, moving on.
I don't want any association with this.
So
I'm your paid producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both.
Paid? Did you just say paid? Oh, I mean that's your line. So in more recent dating news, she apparently had a series of dates with Tobias Lineker, the son of Gary Lineker.
Oh, really?
The face of Walker's Crisps.
Mm.
Apparently they went to a few dates on Valentine's Day and then went to a trendy London hotspot. Mahiki. I was going to say Mankini then. Mahiki. Celeb favourite.
Have you ever been to Mahiki?
No. Let's go.
Okay.
And we'll report back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a field trip.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think what the listeners really want to know, what they would love for us to do is treat ourselves to a drunken night on Mahiki and let them know how it is.
Yeah.
We'll do that for you.
However, the latest is she finds love with Olivia Atwood's honky pal. And I can confirm he is a hunk.
Nice.
Mm.
But they've clearly stayed genuine friends, her and Olivia.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah. So Olivia and Chris, they were very turbulent, they were very on and off. We saw them row a lot, and then they made up, broke up.
There were tears.
So many tears, so much shouting as well.
Oh yeah.
But by the end, they appeared to be really loved up and wanting it to work. I don't know when they started filming, but after they got out of Love Island, they filmed their own spin-off called Chris and Olivia Cracking On. So I think there was about 3 episodes. Apparently, there was planned to be more, but because they broke up, they kind of had to cut it short.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really, really similar to how they were in the villa.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of arguments, then lots of making up, lots of declarations of love, and then lots of shouting at each other. As part of the show, they moved into this great, huge house, I think sort of halfway between both where they both were living. And yeah, it was interesting. I was looking at sort of opinion about it. Lots of people tweeted about the show, and I was looking at it the other day. There was lots of criticism from a lot of people that there was just, it was just too many arguments, too much arguing. Loads of people on Twitter were saying, I turned off after 5 minutes. It was just horrible watching. It was what didn't make nice viewing. It was too much rowing. There was also a lot of people really seeming like they could relate to the relationships. There was a lot of tweets sort of saying, I know how you feel. This is what me and my boyfriend are like. We can't live with each other. We can't live without each other. Mm. It you know, it breaks my heart. It's really, now we've broken up, but I want to get back together and da da da. And I think their relationship, it really, I don't know, I think a lot of people could relate to it. But I also was thinking about the impact that could have on viewers. I think a lot of the Love Island viewers, and therefore a lot of the spin-off show viewers, are in their early 20s, maybe teens. And I think what sometimes the message it can give when you watch a really volatile relationship where there's like huge highs and crashing lows and this like passionate love and this passionate argument and these tears, but then like, I can't live without you. It can sometimes send the message that a love isn't real unless you have all of that. Like sort of like, I love them so much, I cry about them every day and I can't live without them, and I'm deeply unhappy about it, but that shows that it's a real meaningful relationship because this is how I feel. And so it almost sort of gives the impression that if your relationship is just trundling along and everything's good and there's not really arguments and everyone's just pretty happy, that that's not real love.
And I also think that the extreme highs and extreme lows often detract from how compatible you both are in just day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So I was listening to a podcast recently, actually, called The Science of Happiness, and one of the producers of the Pixar film Inside Out was on it.
Yeah.
And kind of saying, actually, as humans, how much happiness are we supposed to have? Mm. And people think we should always be happy at all times, when as in reality, being neutral is fine and shouldn't be seen as a negative. And I think often the highs can be so addictive and it's so dramatic that you get really swept up in it. And then when that's all gone, what's left? So I think, yeah, I don't know. I've never really been in that kind of relationship, but I don't know if it's particularly good to air it to a lot of people and then maybe seeing that as normal.
And I think, and it's tricky though, because when I was thinking about that and the viewers watching, you know, Chris and Olivia would probably say, you know, we're not saying we're role models for young people. We're not saying this is how you should live a relationship. We're just living our lives and cameras are following us. And it's not fair to have this pressure that, you know, that young people are learning relationship tips from us, which is also very fair. You know, they just signed up to be on a TV show, had their reasons for that, whatever that would be. But I think you're right in terms of you can get swept up in the drama and the excitement of, the highs and lows. The other thing I noticed when I was looking at all these tweets and opinions is that the public, it was mainly all about Olivia, the public really either love her or she just divides opinion, I suppose, which you can't be such a sort of a loud personality without doing so. I thought that was interesting.
Because in the villa, Chris was at one point most hated man.
Yeah, true.
After the polar bear comment.
Yeah.
But then, and sitting, I remember him sitting down saying, everyone in here fancies me. And I remember just thinking, yeah, I dislike you.
Yeah, but then we loved him.
Yeah, and then he suddenly kind of really became a favourite. And ever since then, I don't think, he doesn't divide opinions, does he?
No.
I think people just generally love him.
He's just sort of measured it. He's just become more, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, just more sort of on an even keel. And he has spoken quite a lot about his mental health. And I think that's really made the public warm to him. I think as soon as you just show your vulnerable side, which I think Olivia often doesn't, and I think when you see her really angry, I think that's her defences almost coming up a lot of the time. Chris has sort of spoken out about the fact that he really was suffering with anxiety from his early 20s. He then learned to just manage it, he said. He hasn't gone, but he has said he now manages it. And he's become an ambassador for CALM, which it stands for Campaign Against Living Miserably. So he's like the face of that at the moment. But yeah.
It's interesting because she's been put in the villain role.
She has,
for
sure.
And he's the hero. And I just sometimes, and I get that he shows his vulnerable side, and I personally love his accent, but Yeah, I just wonder how much gender has to do with that. And the fact that, for example, Olivia, she's often angry and shouting and stuff.
Mm.
And for some reason that makes people hate her. But I wonder if the roles were reversed and she and Chris was shouting and whatever, and if it would play out in the same way.
Yeah.
Because I think often, you know, it's that whole classic thing of successful women in business, for example.
Yeah.
If you're a successful woman in business, you're, you know, you're classed as, you know,
bossy,
you know, stone-hearted, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Trampling on people to get there kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think often, women have a bit of a tough time in terms of they're put in a pigeonhole.
No, for sure. And it's, it's a weird one because it's also that thing of, well, you don't really know what goes on behind closed doors.
Mm.
But obviously they had cameras.
But you do
behind their doors. But you still cannot possibly know everything, and it made me think a lot. So they've broken up, but that's the sort of.
I'd also approach Chris.
You would.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Probably just for a few dates.
Yeah.
Bit of a summer fling, maybe.
Yeah, perfect for a summer fling.
Yeah.
Especially with those 5K.
Appearances. Maybe he would take me to Mahiki.
Perfect.
So now on to Gabby and Marcel.
Very hot topic.
Yeah.
So I did my research for this the other morning. By the evening, it was outdated.
It's just everything changes.
As Blue said, can flip 180 in a matter of days.
Mm.
And it really has with Gabby and Marcel. So they came fourth. And I'll tell you my original research first. So they're still together, saving up for an engagement ring.
Oh.
They
were my... When you had the... Out of the four, they were my sort of... I thought they were most likely to last.
Yeah, I think I actually voted for them to win.
Nice.
For that reason.
Yeah.
There was a few rumours, but they kind of... shut them down. So news just in, they've split up.
Aww.
Because when they were on a couple's holiday in Mexico.
Okay, when you say couple's holiday,
just then, right? When they were on a romantic break together in Mexico as a couple, Marcel apparently slept with another woman whilst Gabby was at the gym. Which,
so
the thing that really struck me about this story is...
Talk to me.
Why are you going to the gym when you're on holiday in Mexico?
Because that's her whole... She's like...
personal trainer.
Yeah, she's like on a fitness app and everything. And I think loads of people do that whose bodies are their career. If you're going away for 2 weeks, you can't... Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for shutting me down there. I don't think that warrants her being cheated on, obviously. But apparently, this lady sent Gabby the texts that were kind of saying, oh, let's meet up for some day sex. Gabby's going to the gym.
How did he meet? Was it someone he knew?
So apparently they had an argument one night and Gabby went home to bed and Marcel stayed out and met this other girl whilst staying out. Yeah, and then the next day was texting her saying, oh, let's meet up for some day sex, Gabby's at the gym, and then, oh no, she's come back, ruined, blah, blah. But apparently, they did sleep together. So...
That's...
Yeah.
You can make it up.
So that's obviously devastating.
So they've definitely broken up, and they're sort of confirming that story is true.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think he seemed... I mean, is there a type to cheat? I don't know.
The age-old question.
I think they genuinely seemed quite in love and quite kind of honest.
I wonder how he feels about all of this as well, because I think...
I think he said that they were having a lot of trouble and Gabby was pushing him away.
Right.
Into the arms of another lady. Mm. So, where are they now? Gabby's probably with a box of Kleenex and a cuppa.
Hopefully with friends.
Hopefully surrounded by people she loves. Marcel, probably being throwing tomatoes at from every woman in the streets. But where are they now in other news? Marcel, all otherwise known as Rocky B, Platinum B, with an apostrophe between the T and the N. Platinum B.
Okay.
Or Bezel.
Oh, because he was in Blazing Squad.
Yeah. But why has he got three? I
completely forgot about the Blazing Squad thing. Well, it's like, I've got
three rap names.
Yeah, why?
He released a book, Dr. Marcel's Little Book of Big Love, Your Guide to Finding Love, The Island Way.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've got a couple of reviews on here from Amazon.
Please do.
There were only four reviews. One of them said, I'm so shocked, exclamation mark. It was only when I got the book that I realised, capital locks, this man is not a doctor. Complete fraud. You're, spelled incorrectly, my pet hate, you're better off listening to someone who has the knowledge rather than this fake doctor. So shocked that he's been allowed to headline it, Dr. Marcel. Better regulations should be in place. Feel conned, sad face. Emoji. Back to the final couple.
So, Camilla and Jamie. He came in quite late. She'd been quite unlucky in love. Jamie was just this shiny beacon of hope. I think the nation fell in love with him, including me. He made...
I didn't.
Did you not?
Boring.
When he made her avocado toast and spelt out happy birthday, Cam. It made me cry. It
takes a lot more than that for me to fall in love with someone.
It absolutely does not.
I thought he was obviously very good looking and a nice person.
Yeah.
But he didn't make me laugh.
Okay, no. Fine. But
and that's what I'm looking for when I'm watching Love Island. Yeah. And in a prospective partner.
Fine. But he was just very like hot, like swoony. I guess he was
very
quite,
swoony, very yeah. hunky.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose they've stayed quite out of the tabloids. They neither of them, I'd say, were your average Love Island contestant.
Mm.
And they've both sort of gone on to just continue to be consistent with that image since coming out of Love Island. So don't see them very much in the tabloids. They have, as they said they were going to, they've been to a refugee camp in Greece. Jamie, I came across, he's been doing a talk based on his time on Love Island. And it sounded very interesting. I'm just going to read what they said on the website about
For a second I thought you were going to say, I'm just going to hand over to Jamie to tell us more.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
So it says, Jamie Jewett recently appeared in Love Island, which taught him the best lesson he could have learnt, connectivity. When you go into the programme, your phone is taken away from you, all contact with the outside world, all distractions, all the worries. You revert back to a simpler time, waking up and socialising, talking to one another, interacting, building relationships. Jamie says that there were ups and downs to the show, but he ultimately lost his cynicism and got his personality back. The kind that we as social beings crave. And it sort of goes on to say that he had... he'd obviously been a model in the modelling world. He had sort of made loads of observations about social media in the modelling world and the fact that it uses loads of Photoshop and lighting and filters. And he believes that the public, are often brainwashed into believing fixed ideas of beauty and success, which detracts from real values.
Mm.
So he is another one, actually, who's spoken out about his mental health. He said he's had depression and anxiety. He said that Camilla has really supported him with his depression in the past. So, yeah, he's just very, again, being a real advocate for speaking up, especially for men speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously very intelligent and he obviously thinks a lot and has learnt a lot and almost really thinks carefully about all of his experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly has so much, whenever he's asked about Camilla, just has so much respect for her and what he's taught her. But then if you look at his work, it's modelling, being on Love Island,
yeah.
But then using that publicity it's given him for the good, just like Camilla has done in a way.
Mm.
You know, everything she sort of puts out is often about charity. And
they make me feel a bit sick as a couple.
Really?
not physically sick.
In smug or?
No, just because they're so, it's really, like, they're such nice people and they do so many amazing things. Mm-hmm. Just makes me feel bad about myself.
Okay.
Like, oh, we're at a refugee camp and talking about mental health and making each other avocado on toast whilst I'm just on the sofa with a hangover.
Well, no, you're not. You're also doing great things.
Yeah. But anyway, I think they're great. They're obviously great together.
I think so. And I really like that there has been some speaking out about mental health, and I think that's a great way to use their platform. And
yeah, it's weird though, isn't it, that because it's almost he's almost giving the message to people that, you know, you should really connect with people and not be swept away in images. But through watching a reality TV show, it's weird, isn't it?
It is. It just feels quite conflicting, and I'm not criticising him for it. It's just an interesting combination.
So thanks for listening to this episode. I know we said last week that these episodes were going out weekly, and they absolutely will. We are true to our word. However, there will be a bit of a break between this one and the next one.
Our next episode of Love's Beach will be on air when Love Island goes live. So we will hopefully catch you at the beginning of June.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also rate us out of 5 and leave us a lovely review if you wish.
Please also share the love and tell all your family and friends, and even if you want strangers in the street to subscribe to us as well. And if you can't get enough, please follow us on Twitter at Loves the Beach Pod, Instagram Loves the Beach Podcast, and you can always write in with your ideas, feedback or requests, lovesthebeachpodcast@gmail.com.